Cosmophilia, You Belong Here, your 2015 annual reading. My name is Eric Francis, here to tell you something about your astrology of 2015, about the astrology of 2015, so much of which remains focused on your sign, which is a sign of something, I think a sign of your being directly invited to participate and being directly informed that your presence in the world has an impact. I'm starting all of these readings by going back a few years and in the spirit of getting a concept of here in You Belong Here, helping get some image of how it is that you got to this particular place where you are at. I would say that if we need a point of transition, an embarkment point, as it were, for the modern era of your life, the current era of your life, that starts sometime between 08 and 09. The reason it does so is because something really big happened, something that only happens for a few years every 250 years, meaning that previous generations did not go through this one particular experience of Pluto in Capricorn. Pluto arrived in your sign. And Pluto is something of the spiritual orientation point of the modern zodiac. Like most things of its nature, that is to say, of a distinctly light and dark nature, Pluto is not very well understood. But I believe Pluto to represent a kind of evolutionary imperative, a kind of bottom line of growth. At the very least, we can say this is a particularly meaningful planet, and it is the planet that stops at nothing whatsoever. And this planet is now in your sign. And when Pluto is in any one sign, and particularly the rising sign, the ascendant, so if you're Capricorn rising, you have what I would say is an even more delicate transit than Pluto near planets or Pluto near the sun, which is Pluto in your ascendant. This is a time of what you might think of as a fundamental reconstruction of who you are. Now, everything I am saying here is applicable to the entire Capricorn family, whether that be sun or rising. However, where there is a Pluto transit involved, I do suggest that you contact an astrologer and find out the exact dates of Pluto conjunct your sun or Pluto conjunct your ascendant. It might be happening now. Capricorn ascendant, all ascendants move very quickly. And so, you know, if you're anywhere in the middle degrees of Capricorn rising, you are having this exact transit now. But in the kind of astrology we're doing, whole ascendant, whole sign, sun sign astrology, the metaphor plays through for everyone, and that energy of, in the spirit of Pluto and Capricorn, disassembling and reassembling, or destruction and rebuilding, or renovation, this kind of gut renovation type of sensation, is the essence of Pluto in Capricorn. And so the evolutionary imperative is focused in Pluto. It is a small, concentrated, very powerful force that the established structure of consciousness, of existence, as described by Capricorn, must reckon with. And this is not easy for everyone. For some people, it is extremely exciting. For some, it is painful. And for some, there are going to be real moments of needing to rise to the occasion of life and engage something that may be a totally new experience for you, by bringing something completely new to that experience, some facet of yourself, some willingness to consider things a different way. And I would say that the more critical the moment, the more that you get the feeling that this is important, this is meaningful, this is difficult, this is challenging, whatever it might be, that full consciousness needs to be brought to the equation. One of the qualities of Pluto, and one that it shares with Neptune, is that it has the tendency to work below the level of consciousness. In other words, it can be invisible. Pluto is certainly not visible with the ordinary senses. It must be seen with special instrumentation, satellites, with telescopes mounted on them, perhaps a super shitty image of Pluto seen from the Earth, from, you know, through the atmosphere. We really don't have very good images of Pluto at all. One of the most interesting things about 2015, one of the things I'm considering one of the top events of 2015, is that a spacecraft by the name of New Horizons reaches Pluto in July of 2015 and will make its closest pass to Pluto. That is the primary destination. It will send back the first ever close-up photos of the Pluto-Charon-Hydra-Nix system. That is what Pluto really is. There's actually two additional satellites whose names I do not have memorized, and we're going to find out that there is actually much more going on there. And this is a metaphor. It is a metaphor, first of all, for revealing to you the details of the journey that you have been on, this journey of fundamental reconstruction of self. We're going to see inside this thing. We're going to see to the interior of the planetary system that is the Pluto-Charon, spelled C-H-A-R-O-N, system, and actually be able to lay eyes on this. And I think these photos will have a consciousness-changing effect. I think they will be stunningly beautiful and will help you gain perspective over just quite what it is that has been happening in your life. Pluto in Capricorn is powerful enough to be changing society in total. Within weeks of Pluto entering Capricorn, maybe a little more than weeks, maybe a month or two, the financial system went into kind of a tailspin. This was in the summer of 2008. And many astrologers predicted this kind of thing. There was the sense of collapse, the sense of the rug being pulled out, the sense of crimes being committed, the sense of the betrayal by power, and then ultimately the sensation of massive, sweeping cultural change. That continued. The main perpetrators of the financial collapse left office, took a lot of money with them, lined the pockets of a lot of their friends, and in the fall of that year, Obama was elected in a sweep of consciousness, the likes of which we have not seen since. And so that initial pulse of Pluto in Capricorn brought with it a willingness, a voluntary passion for change. Whatever may have become of the Obama presidency, the impulse that led it into being was a sincere impulse. It was really about the embracing of progress and change. Granted, not for very long. It had a kind of a limited moment. The machinery of the government persisted, but the people did indeed speak. And this began the modern era of society as well as the modern era of your life, because the astrology that we experience personally is the same astrology that is experienced by the culture at large, and we individuals are the meeting place of the two, and you as someone with prominent Capricorn in your chart, for whom anything that happens to the sign Capricorn is a personal experience that brings you into the action, there was and remains a direct invitation for you to be involved, for you to bring yourself into the scenario, for you to see the ways in which you are already part of the larger scenario. Now, I recognize this is challenging. We are very preoccupied, we humans, we Westerners, with our individual lives and have little thought of and little regard for the larger society around us. But I would propose that for a period of years, the larger society around you has been summoning you, has been calling forth your involvement and facilitating change in a way that has led to your capacity, an increased capacity to take part. The thing about Pluto in one's own sign is that it is about recognizing the impact that you have. So there is an internal growth piece, and that internal growth piece is very powerful when applied to a sign such as Capricorn, where there is so much of the past contained in that sign, and then this Shiva-like force comes through and makes anything possible, makes any the creation of the destruction of some combination of the two, of anything, is possible when Pluto is present. And I am sure you have felt this energy running through your life in some way. It may be the insatiable calling to growth. It may be the reconnection with your passion. It may be that something that you did got an unexpected result of some kind. It may be that you are growing in a way that is incompatible with the people around you. And yet, the direction in which you are growing, the direction in which your personal growth is inevitable, is a direction that is in harmony, that is in synchronization with the much larger society around you. And you are being called to participate. There are other transits that have influenced you. I'll give you a couple of examples of the way things have developed in recent years that have brought you to where you are. First of all, the other piece of the Pluto transit, that being Uranus in Aries, has been in effect in full force since the spring of 2011. It began vibrating in late 2010, and then with a kind of a shocking transition in March of 2011, Pluto entered your fourth house, fourth solar house, if you are Sun Capricorn, whole sign fourth house, if you are Capricorn rising. And this changed your emotional structure, and it may have brought profound changes to your family structure, the structure of your household, and the structure of your security base. To put it mildly, you have been called to live on the edge. Whether that edge is some economic edge, some domestic edge, some emotional edge, some edge of where you actually feel safe and confident. And the result has been, in addition to getting you used to a kind of perpetual ongoing shakeup, has been to get you accustomed to drawing your sense of safety from within rather than from some structure that surrounds you. Drawing your sense of identity from within rather than, say, for example, some family structure or family mythology that surrounds you that is part of your past. And so as with the Pluto transit through your sign, the transit of Uranus through your fourth house is a shakeup. It is a an invitation, sometimes enforced, compelled, irresistible, absolutely necessary, no point resisting, to rethink your whole concept of safety and of belonging. It is quite possible that in this time, either your family of origin or the thing that you knew of as your family up until the time of around 2010, early 2011, underwent some radical structural change, and that in the spirit of Uranus, which can represent groups in the style of Aquarius, a sign with which Uranus is associated, began to form a new family, a family of choice, a family that is different from, stranger than, highly unusual, eclectic, interesting, different, but not the typical ho-hum, these are the people who've been around for generation after generation, and if I don't conform to them, oops, well, that oops has happened. This is a bigger deal for Capricorn than it might be for many other people, for several reasons. One of them is the reverence of Capricorn for tradition and for respecting the structure of society. Another is your tendency to seek identity in the family structure as a natural, organic way of kind of aligning your consciousness. And so this revolution has passed through town, and this revolution has set you up to be independent in terms of your security, and also independent in terms of your emotional orientation on certain people and certain, as I say, family structures. This is all about expanding your concept of family and setting yourself free from the identity patterns that family is all about. One of the things that's not often said about family, but which many people do start to figure out, is that it holds you to an identity. There is a role that you're supposed to play and that you're expected to play, and even doing something like cutting your hair or coming out of the closet, that's kind of a bigger one, but any change in the way that you typically are can be met with resistance, commentary, criticism, and rebellion by this thing called family. And it sometimes seems that the whole concept of family is designed to bind people into pre-existing patterns that they themselves did not necessarily consciously choose. And so what is happening, as indicated by factors in your chart, is that you are evolving very rapidly, and this may be having a kind of an alienating factor on that which previously held you to a definition of yourself that, guess what, is no longer true. And so we're seeing this operate really from the inside out, meaning first from inside you, then from the choices you make and the personality structure that you had lived with, which is now being infused with a kind of a radical expression of soul, and then that having its first and most immediate effects on the family life. There's something else that's been going on, which is you have been focusing your creativity. And this is one of the most radical things in your chart, though I would encourage you to notice the ways in which it's true. And if you don't think it is, notice the many ways in which you can make it true. But to sum it up in a few sentences, the artist in you is being reawakened. It is very easy to allow the artist in you to kind of drop back into the background, maybe to be rather than something that you do or some passion that you have for creative activity or for honoring your creative process, more to be something that exists in the background that influences you. For example, you know, instead of actually engaging yourself in creative activity, it's very easy for you to just sort of live in a creative way, to appreciate the beauty that's around you and to appreciate the beauty of language or imagery. But now the calling, the irresistible factor of awakening known as Chiron has been calling you to focus your conscious creativity and to give it a practical use, to give it some application in your life rather than being something in the background. So this is a factor that is coming out of the kind of invisible portion of the environment and is, in a sense, confronting you with the beauty and the necessity and the urgency for your own personal healing to be able to make contact with direct expression and participation rather than merely observing. And so to sum up, the storyline of your life has been seized by the evolutionary force, by rapid accelerated growth, by the urgency of becoming yourself, of breaking through forms in your personality that no longer serve you, that were no longer even vaguely relevant, and allowing yourself to be this different person who you may not even recognize, no matter how vulnerable, no matter how raw you may feel. And at the same time, I would encourage you to notice, if you haven't, the impact that just merely that experience plus who you bring through as you go through this, who you bring through, what you bring through has impact on the world around you. Then second phase, a real shakeup in your home environment that is ongoing, that I think is entirely necessary to accommodate this expanded concept of who you are. And then finally, along with this, an alignment with your creative force. And as you do that, the discovery of a massive abundance of creative energy that is very much mediated by whether you think you can do anything with it. And I suggest you just think along those lines. Think along the lines of productive creativity and expressing something that is not what you might think of as artistic as much as something that is just inherently who you are. These planets are all slow-moving outer planets that I'm describing. They're moving through some of the most inwardly focused areas of your chart where this is the unstoppable force of you becoming who you are, and the physical and metaphysical and psychological and spiritual truth is that everyone and everything must adapt to those changes, and that you are not going to be stopped by anyone's apparent failure to adapt. You are going to just keep growing and keep changing, and that is it. And I would suggest that you make peace with that, and that you just simply allow that to be true, and not worry so much what people think, and not worry so much about whether anyone has any judgment on the fact that you're not the person who you were yesterday. I recognize this can have a real impact on the people around you, but that itself is the story of your astrology. There's two more houses here that I think are worth summing up. The second and the 12th, they're the ones that surround your sign. So in doing sun sign astrology, which is what we're doing, and it's a different approach to astrology than natal astrology, but that different approach allows information to come in without having the natal chart. It's a very handy thing because it's not easy or even possible to get everyone's natal chart in order to read it, but there is a story told, a kind of a meta story in the signs themselves. And in dealing with any one sign, putting in that one sign under the microscope, we get a lot of information from the two signs that adjoin it. The one immediately before yours is Sagittarius, and it describes an image of your interior. It describes an image of what it is like inside your senses, inside your consciousness, and as it what it's like to live out the karma that you have to live out. And what is going on in Sagittarius now verges on humorous, given how much is going on. It is absolute, complete anarchy in this sign. It is a mob scene of minor planets and deep space points that are gathered around the galactic center and the great attractor. So two fixed features in Sagittarius that don't move much in any one human lifetime. They'll move based on precessional movement, not because they're orbiting. And so based on precessional movement in the course of a human lifetime, the galactic center and the great attractor and any fixed star will move about 1 degree. So they stay still from the standpoint of all the other things that are moving around. And what is happening right now is that there are gatherings, massive gatherings of planets around these two deep space points. And that is amplifying the effect of these transits. And one of the things that is happening is there's a gathering of centaur planets and a couple of trans-Neptunian objects around the galactic center. And then there's another gathering near and all around the Great Attractor. This is going on inside this interior aspect of you, Sagittarius. And you might think of as Sagittarius as the unworldly part of Capricorn. The astrology textbooks that you might read, most of which were written in the 1960s and 1970s, and many of which are fixated on the surface layer of the personality. They're fixated on certain behaviors and presumed preferences. And one of the things that's left out of those descriptions is something that's fairly obvious about Capricorn, if you're paying attention, which is that there is a profound devotion to mysticism with Capricorn. Capricorn is attributed to be the sign of all things worldly and ambition and politics and corporate this and the institutions of society and all that. And on one level, the most superficial level, that's true. Corporate structures are often described by something like Capricorn. They're also right now getting their ass kicked. There's a lot of need to either actually be integrity or have some real problems. We can get into that another time, but what I was going to say is that in the midst of all of this corruption that makes the fiction known as the news so depressing is all this corporate corruption. But what is also going on in society is a movement toward corporate responsibility. And by corporate responsibility, I mean companies that do the right thing, that behave themselves, that are not all about criminal enterprises, indeed not at all about criminal enterprises, where companies are choosing to take the high road, the more difficult road, the less immediately profitable road, and to be in full integrity. When we look at that on a human scale, say, for example, about you or someone else born with a strong Capricorn signature, right behind all of this structure, there is Sagittarius in the 12th house, the hidden sign for Capricorn, the one that is not apparent, the one that's not visible from the outside, in a sense, the one that only you know because your mind is conscious in the midst of it. There is a profound devotion. There is an understanding that life is a cosmic experience, that we are alive not just on Earth in this world of material things and the world of time, but rather that we are also alive on a very long cosmic scale, that humans are a relatively small part of the picture, and yet the awakening of every single person counts. And this Sagittarius part of you is wide awake. It is all the time. It always has been wide awake. It's easy to sort of pull a curtain on that, but then it's also easy for that curtain to just basically be incinerated. And what Pluto is doing right now is penetrating through these layers of your personality and infusing it with this wild awakening going on in Sagittarius. Pluto, by the way, is in the perfect position to do that because long before any of these points got into Sagittarius, the ones that are there now, Pluto passed through Sagittarius as a kind of a vanguard, and then as if it magically drew toward it a collection of what you might think of as wild evolutionary resources, things that are just designed to impel and compel and just make growth be the thing to do. That's what's going on in Sagittarius right now. And so this inner region of your life is very busy. There is no certainty. There is no bottom line of what is true, but you have a sense of calling, a sense of direction. It is not easy to take you off of your bearings. Your bearings are very powerful. They are extremely dependable, and they are calling you and always have been calling you in the direction of God. You might think of that as whatever you think of God as being, this profound living inner faith, the creator of the universe around us, the thing that inspires consciousness itself, whatever you think of as that God force, that is the thing that you orient on the most naturally. This is one reason why Capricorn people have the potential to be so incredibly powerful, because the Capricorn piece gives you an orientation on the world and an ability to transact business with the world in a very practical way. But the spiritual piece that is driving you is irresistible. And to combine that spiritual piece with a pragmatic worldly ability to transact the affairs of the world basically makes you unstoppable. And when we add to that Pluto, the willingness to, willingness is putting it friendly, right? Willingness is saying that, maybe you're being dragged kicking and screaming, but you're still willing because you know it's for your own, greatest good. Pluto, hot with the energy of Sagittarius, still cooking with the energy of having crossed over the galactic core in 2006 or so, is burning its way through your sign and making sure that there are no obstacles of personality, no obstacles of the past, no unnecessary karma that is there to weigh you down, drag you down, or block your progress in any way. One last very brief point before I take a little break is that the other adjoining sign to yours, the second house, Aquarius, also Saturn ruled, has been the scene of many, many outer planet transits the past 15 years. Of course, anything that went through Aquarius also went through Capricorn. However, the transits through Aquarius are the more recently memorable, several have ended recently, including Chiron in Aquarius, Neptune in Aquarius, and now Nessus in Aquarius, all of which are either in Pisces, your third house, or in the case of Nessus, about to be there. The upshot of this is, the kind of summary of the story here, is there have been many things influencing your opinion of yourself. There have been factors that you might think of as biasing your opinion of yourself, your value, your view of yourself. And the last one left there has been an extremely self-critical factor by the name of Nessus. And Nessus is in the process of leaving your house of self-esteem. And I see this as a real breath of freedom, in particular, the freedom to decide how you feel about yourself without all of these biasing influences kind of predetermining how you feel about yourself. You have more space to maneuver here. You have more space to decide who and what is right for you. And I think that it is very possible, verging on impossible, that it didn't happen, that you have learned lessons involving healing your self-esteem and, in a sense, recognizing that the only solution to self-judgment and self-criticism, sometimes described as lack of self-esteem, is a spiritual force. It is something that is beyond the level of the mere personality. Thankfully, you have that going strong for you. The concept of self-esteem is something that in some ways you can sidestep or supplant with your deeper, greater faith. It always helps to act in ways that demonstrate your respect for yourself and to make choices in your relationships in ways that demonstrate your respect for yourself. However, faith in yourself is something that actually comes very naturally to you. And if you observe the power of that faith and look back at your life and see what that faith has given you, the many, many gifts that that faith in yourself has given you, it will be very easy to have lots and lots of self-esteem. And if you can do that, that sets you apart from a great many people, and it really puts you in the position to have a wholly positive aspect on the world around you that stems really from having faith in yourself. All right, I am going to take a little break here and ponder some of that, and then see where to go next. We've got some fun things to talk about, some conjunctions of Venus and Mars. We have the story of the beginning phase after the Uranus-Pluto square. We have Jupiter changing signs later in the year, and a few other exciting bits going on. Listen, thanks for listening. A pleasure, as always. Back in a digital instant.